electric was it out there? I'm telling you what, it doesn't get any better. It's everything you dream of and then more. All right, that's outstanding work.
Welcome back. Welcome in to the Lions Share Podcast postseason edition. That's right, the Lions winners against the Rams. Dan Campbell did it. Brad Holmes did it. Sheila did it. The Lions did it. We did it. The Lions won a playoff game for the first time in this podcast's history and the history that is the three of us being on this earth. You know, Andrew, we've waited a long time for this day, a long, long time. We've gone through very much an emotional roller coaster. And at times, I'll be honest, I felt like this day may never come. So what are you feeling like? Did you have worries throughout the game and thinking like, here we go again? And did you ever feel like this day was actually going to come to fruition?
I had hopes and dreams and aspirations. Didn't know if we'd actually ever see it, but here we are, and it feels great. But that's just one, right? I'm sure the guys in the locker room said the same thing. That's just one. Time to go out and get some more. CD said it a couple times to the media. It ain't over. Didn't come here to win a division championship. Didn't come here to win a playoff game. Came here to win a Super Bowl. So they're going for it all. I don't even really know how to feel. To be honest with you, it kind of feels weird. Just kind of taking it in right now.
Yeah, it's like uncharted territory. We've never been this far in the playoffs. We, as in the team that is the Lions, it feels weird to be recording a podcast. You know, last year at this time, I think we were talking about Brandon Staley and the Chargers blowing it against the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence threw four picks and still won the game. And here we are talking about the Lions actually involved in the mix in the playoffs, and it feels great. Mitch, how are you feeling now, you know, a couple hours removed from the victory and, you know, looking on to next week? Are you still soaking in it?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's so unfamiliar that everyone should pause and just try to enjoy it. But at the same time, it's kind of next man up mentality. You got to stay hungry, and, you know, the fans have earned it. So I don't think there's anything wrong with relishing in it for a little bit longer, but yeah, I'm ready for what's next.
Agreed. I think last night I was struggling to put it in words, and it just felt weird, kind of like Andrew said, never been here before, didn't know what to do with my hands, didn't know how to react to it. Now, today, as the day has gone on, I've actually gotten more and more excited and more like I'm really taking it in now, and it's just inspiring to see what this city and what Dan and Brad and Sheila have brought to the state of Michigan and Lions Nation across, you know, the whole world. You know, you see all the clips going around of the locker room. You see people going to the throwback clips of Dan on Hard Knocks, and, you know, kind of he was, you know, hinting at what this could possibly be. And I think we all wanted to believe it at the time. And then now here it is in front of us, like, all right, NFC North champions. They won a wild card playoff game against their old quarterback, and now they've earned another game at home, potentially against the Bucks or the Eagles. And so it's a good time to take a step back and just remember where this all started. And you know, as Andrew alluded to, job's not done. Now it's on to the divisional round, and you know, next team up, whoever that may be. We'll include at the very end of the episode Jared Goff's comments, and those were electric. The fans were electric. Everything was electric. We had so many celebrities in the stands and on the sidelines. You can even count them all on your finger. I even saw a clip of Joey Harrington doing shots of Fireball after the game. So, you know, we've got everybody drinking the Kool-Aid at this point. If this was any other team, you know, if this was the Chiefs, you get a wild card win, it's not that big of a deal. But for this city, after everything they've been through, as Mitch alluded to, certainly it's worthy of relishing in. And we hope it's not done. We hope the train keeps rolling. So Yeah, I've rewatched the ending of the game several times. I don't know how many clips have you guys gone through, because I continue to get goosebumps each and every time I rewatch stuff.
Tons of them. Yeah, they're all still coming out. Does anybody have a favorite?
Man, it's like picking a favorite child. They're all good.
I think the first down was Son God. I mean, that's just like the moment that they needed.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Jared's speech for me.
Yeah, I think mine is Brad Holmes in the elevator after the game.
Oh, my God.
Presumably heading down to the locker room.
Somebody check on that man.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's just raw emotion.
And I think the best part of, like, I don't know, did you guys see, like, the return of Calvin Johnson has just been amazing. So him getting psyched up when they got the final first down was like, okay, all is right within the Lions sphere. They've made right by Calvin, obviously. Barry's always been involved. You've got all the legends showing up and defending the den, and it's just, I don't know. Yeah, it's just awesome to see. There's nothing but passion in the building right now.
Yeah, the Lions have their own Taylor.
Steelers just fumbled on the sidelines. They're trying to determine who recovered it here. Live action.
Breaking news. We've got the Bills and the Steelers, which was supposed to take place yesterday.
They gave it to the Steelers.
I see they've gone punt, punt, fumble, punt, the Steelers. So not a good start. Mason Rudolph, the Steelers aren't looking good. That's my B team. I hate to see them struggle as much as that's a nice pass though there for Mason. All right. But as I was saying, the Lions have their own Taylor. You know, the Chiefs have Taylor Swift. The Lions have Taylor Lautner. And his custom jacket too, which I might add is...
Shout out Mrs. Juszczyk.
Yeah, she is pumping out everything out of the little warehouse that she's got, her little shack. And people saying that they want the NFL to seek out her services to provide NFL shop attire, because I would certainly line up for it. That's some good stuff. Everybody was there. Everybody, Glover Quinn was there, said he's already going to be there next week. I think Snacks was there. Who forgot about Snacks being a part of this team several years ago? Everybody. And the crowd was electric, and surely the crowd will be even more electric next week, whoever they get there in Detroit. So let's talk about the big things from the game. First and foremost, Jared Goff. Putting it in his hands late. Dan and Ben Johnson alike drawing up that play to go to St. Brown on a win route, as they call it. And who else would you trust more than the Sun God to get your first down there? It's just great to see him on this team, even though he's not a Pro Bowler. We love him. And what can you say about Jared Goff in this one against his old team? I mean, had a couple issues, but really proven himself last night.
The Mute Monster.
Really only, oh boy.
So
I No.
Mute Monster got your ass. You see, you just ride the pine pony. And I hope I say exactly what you were going to say. I think we'll get to Jared. It's in the game notes, and we'll kind of specify some of the things that went wrong. But this is what we need from Jared. It's almost something that was a punchline last year, Mr. Serviceable. That's all I need. Just don't turn the ball over. Protect it. Don't make the mistakes. And that's what can take this team to the next level. I believe on throws where he wasn't pressured, I think he was 21 of 21 or 22 of 22. And that's the Jared Goff MO, right? Like, he gets too much pressure in his face, not all the time, but sometimes he just panics, and we'll get to a certain highlight or low light later. But just protect the football, be the leader of the team. He did just that, and they love him. Jared Goff is here to stay. DC said it, you're enough for Detroit, so he's not going anywhere, and they just need him to play the ball that he's good at playing, and they'll be just fine.
Yeah, you kind of hinted at it too. He really only had one mistake, one big, big, big mistake. And I'm sure we'll just touch on it now. It's the hey, how you doing? Toss it to my tackle again. Off. I don't even know who he was throwing it to, which lineman it was.
Brock Wright. Brock Wright was out there.
Yeah, poor Brock
It was
Wright.
A tight end on top
poor,
of that.
Poor Brock Wright just got Yikes. Slammed for his waistline, and he doesn't even know it.
He did. At least he blocked better than Firkser. But like that was Goff's big, big, like, what are you doing? Other than that, he played a near-perfect game, which is what, you know, going forward, it's only going to get harder. You're going to need Goff to play these near-perfect games.
This
I think
future,
the biggest thing for me was his composure.
Yeah, he didn't. He's not shakable. I think he's unfathomable. Even not unfathomable, he's unflappable. Flappable? Whatever. Even in the game where he turned it over five times, he just kept coming back, kept coming back, kept coming back. So he's got that cornerback mentality where it's just like next play over and over again. But yeah, I mean, he just has to avoid the panicky issues. This team will go as far as Jared Goff and the cornerbacks will allow it. That's it.
100%. I was a little bit concerned coming into this game against his old team that he was going to try to do too much. And that's kind of what I was speaking about, the composure from him. I wanted to see him just go out there, play it like a normal game. And I know that's incredibly hard to do when you're actually in those cleats. That's what I was looking for from him last night. And he delivered in a big way. And moment wasn't too big for him. You know, national stage, crowd electric, crowd chanting his name as Matthew Stafford's coming out. So I'm glad to see that from Jared. A solid day all around from Jared. Let's talk about, yes, Andrew.
Well, on another note, you know, you got all these revenge games. Maybe we'll save it, but the other revenge game, his teammate that he forced it to, Josh Reynolds. Do you think that was just game plan or just happened to be open, was his second option a lot of the times, or what?
I think that was JG and Reynolds just like, let's light him up. Let's just get after it. And maybe Ben Johnson too. I think Ben Johnson is very aware of that stuff. We saw when he was trying to get Reynolds' bonuses. It sucks that fizzled because I thought that was going to be a theme of the game. And then eventually that was going to open up everybody else, J-Mo, LaPorta, St. Brown, which St. Brown got his. So yeah, I think that was 100% Goff and Reynolds before the game. Like, let's see what we can do.
Yeah, agreed. I think it was in the script because it was all the script plays were to Reynolds. And then, as Mitch said, it kind of fizzled out and you started to wonder if he was even out on the field. And in typical Lions fashion, things kind of, you know, ramp to start the game, three scores early, and then, you know, only a field goal after that. But hey, that's all they needed to get the dub. So let's talk about Dan Campbell down the stretch. You know, the big fourth and one inside their own five to make it 21-10 is versus 17-10. I can't remember from our group text, were we team field goal there or did we want the seven there?
From 54?
No. Sorry, the one to make it 21-10. It was from the, it's inside the five. It was fourth and one, and they go past to LaPorta, and it's a touchdown.
I can't remember. I'd have to look. I'm thinking back, no matter what I said, I'm glad they went for it because at that point, there was neither defense could stop a nosebleed. So they needed the points.
Yeah, I feel like we were team points at that point in the game. But let's be honest, a Dan Campbell-led team, that was never, ever going to be a field goal.
Surprised to see it be a pass, too, on fourth and one. That was a little bit surprising to me. But go to your safety blanket. Go to a guy that worked so hard to be involved this week, and that's Sam LaPorta, who, you know, just coming off the hyperextended knee and bone bruise, gets himself pay dirt, which was huge.
What's crazy, well, you watch that play develop, and you see the look in Goff's eyes. He looked like he did panic in that moment, and then it was like he caught LaPorta, just barely got some separation. He was able to put it there, but I thought that was a broken play. And I honestly, before that play was snapped, I thought it was going to be a draw him offsides type of play, take the field goal.
Yeah, you watch Goff go through his progressions. You know, he's moving around, which he doesn't move a lot, but, you know, shuffling his feet, and you start looking at him looking at his eyes, like you said, and you watch him go through the progressions, and you know, historically when Jared goes through his progressions and then it's not there, he starts to try to force it. And that was my concern, is it's fourth and one. I mean, you got to do something. You got to throw it up. It, you know, it's fourth down, but that does worry me from time to time about, okay, where's he going and is it open and is it going to work? But hey, you got to trust in Jared in the playoffs, and he proved it right there. So the other fourth down that, or the other big thing from Dan was the accepting of the holding penalty instead of declining. We were very much team decline it and make it fourth and whatever it would have been against a shaky kicker from deep there. Who knows what the Rams would have done, but they would have gone for the field goal or maybe gone for the fourth down. But the Lions accept the penalty, and that ended up being a game changer, because then the Rams don't pick it up, and they have to punt because it's such a long fourth down.
I said it right away. I said in our faces, or in my face, whatever I said, in our faces, I think. But at that point in the game, again, the defense couldn't do anything. Just like every other team, Puka Nacua just eating all day long. It's, you know, I thought it was very, very risky to potentially give a field goal kicker who's, like you said, shaky at best, better field position. But hey, it all worked out.
Andrew, anything? No.
No, I didn't know what I was worried in that situation. You know, the defense, like Mitch said, sucked. Cam Sutton sucked. Couldn't keep anybody in front of him. That was what we said going into this game with Puka Nacua too, is if he's going to catch balls, make sure he catches them in front of you and you take him down to the ground. You saw Kirby Joseph struggle with him all night long. I mean, when he was able to let him catch it in front of him, struggled to bring him down with one guy. I think just overall more impressed with Puka Nacua.
Yeah, we knew what he was going to do. And yeah, unfortunately, it's the broken record each and every week. The one of the two, you know, wide receiver one or wide receiver two is going to go off against the Lions. It's a guarantee. But, you know, my biggest concern on that third down after accepting the penalty was a pass interference with an automatic first down or defensive holding, illegal contact, one of the three, pick your poison. That was my concern. And I'm just glad that it didn't come down to that. And then after that, you know, that was pretty much the game after the Lions were able to get a couple first downs there. Spoke about the St. Brown catch, but also a sneaky little underrated play was the, I think it was two plays before the St. Brown first down. It was the David Montgomery first down. And, you know, he gets a short little pass there from Jared. It's almost like an extended run, a high percentage throw there to Monty, and makes a little shifty move. And stays in bounds and picks up the first down there. I think people will get that one will get lost in the all the other highlights in the clips, but that's a sneaky big play right there from Monty to pick up a first down. Shakes a couple guys there and moves the sticks, and then that would lead to a Monty basically a 1 yard run, takes it to the 2 minute warning, and then you know everybody knows what happens after that. Sun God, first down, third down, or first down to St. Brown, and the game was over. But Want to give the flowers to Monty there for a sneaky play that's going to get lost with all the other mess that occurred yesterday. So shout out to David, and shout out to Sean McVay, because I think that was a big play or a big part of this game too. Was, you know, a little bit more conservative than I thought Sean would have been in this one, playing for field goals and use those two timeouts, which are huge down the stretch. Then they couldn't stop the clock. Who knows what happens if they've got all three timeouts there. The Rams used a timeout 13 minutes to go in the third quarter and used one with 13 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So I think that kind of gets lost in it too. And of course, you know, the Lions won this game. They deserved to win. They were the better team today. But I think that played a big role in it, was the conservative nature of Sean and those two timeouts.
I don't know if you're watching the Bills-Steelers game. Bills interception in the end zone as snowballs come raining in.
Have we got a warning yet?
Who's to say? We probably won't see one.
Anything about what I said prior to that?
I was watching the game.
Oh, okay. What did you guys think about Sean McVay? Do you think he should have been more aggressive?
I think that's kind of Sean's Achilles heel. It always has been with the time. I'm shocked he wasn't, especially, again, given that Puka was just having his way. And so was Stafford, quite frankly. Like, it's not like either one of them had a bad game at all. So I'm surprised. I'll take it. I don't see him getting – he's not getting a lot of heat today, which I thought he would get a little bit more. I don't know. I thought it was interesting, but I'm not going to complain about it now.
My biggest takeaway from Sean McVay was the – once again, I was looking into a lot of guys' eyes last night, and it was the fear from Sean McVay when Stafford entered that medical tent and was there for an extended period of time. I think he kind of glanced over at Wentz, and you could see the total fear, like, I can't put this guy in a playoff game. There's no way.
We'll save that talk for a little bit later here in the show, but yes, agreed, 100%. Got a shout out to the Money Badger, Michael Badgley, too, for this one, because I'll be honest, I doubted you, brother. 54 yards, I didn't have a lot of faith in the 54 yards, even in a dome, and my goodness, did he kick it right down Main Street. Arguably good from 65, I would even almost say. That was a beauty.
Settle down.
I don't think we've ever seen it. All right. Riding high here. But my goodness. Didn't know the guy had it in.
There's a reason they made the switch. I think if that's Riley Patterson, it gets yanked to the left. So again, shout out to Brad Holmes and DC. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think I saw in an article today, they finally made the decision with the Money Badger after like a 5 week long kicking contest that it was going on every day in practice. They were tit for tat, as one would say. Money Badger finally won it out and sent Patterson.
And that battle went on during the training camp too. So I was surprised to see them go with Riley to start the year after having Badgley last year. But we're glad he's here, because I agree, Mitch. Riley Patterson, not sure that's going through the. I'm not sure. And credit to Dan for putting him out there. You know, Dan loves to go for it on fourth down, but right there, you know, obviously it was a long fourth down, but to send him out there, a difference maker in this game for sure. The other difference maker was the fans, and probably could have led the show with the fans. Kind of did, I guess. But my goodness, you know, we knew this team and this city and this fan base was hungry for a playoff home game, and we knew kind of what to expect from them. But shout out to the whole production team in Ford Field in the Lions front office, because they did a great job with the fan atmosphere, the song list, the set list. Having the drum line out there, the wristbands, the lights, everything was top tier, 10 out of 10. Everybody doing their job, including, you know, the people picking up trash yesterday. So what can we say about these fans? I mean, 313 was strong yesterday, and I expect it to be even stronger next week. I saw this. And Andrew, you may have mentioned this last night on our little mini bonus episode, but man, the fans were there so early, like an hour before the game. It looked like a full stadium. And then by 40 minutes, I think it was actually full.
Well, cold temperatures, and then they threw the Packers-Cowboys game on in the stadium. So everybody funneled in early, took a seat, and just started watching the Packers-Cowboys game, which is crazy. And then, you know, on top of being there early, I want to get the stat on when that stadium actually emptied out, because that game was over and they weren't budging. They weren't going anywhere. I was texting the longtime Lion. He said they might stay there in their seats till next week.
So a couple things. Tirico actually said in a pretty cool moment, I think he said, I've done hundreds of games, never seen a stadium fill up as fast and as early as this one did, which I thought was awesome. Because you see these Hill Rod Dallas Cowboys fans sprint into the stadium. It's assigned seats, okay? They're assigned. They're not going anywhere. So just relax. Second, I believe on, I think it was Good Morning Football today, they were talking about how they literally had to start kicking fans out to be like, we have to like clean up and get ready for the next thing here. Like, you guys need to go. That's amazing.
Oh, the Cowboys. One thing I got to say about that. Yes, I saw the clip that you're speaking on, and I agree. It's not a Black Friday sale.
It's
not
every
like,
week.
It.
Yeah, it's just insane. Really? I don't understand. I will say, I was texting with another shout out to Nicole here. She said the vibes were just incredible the entire time. She said it never felt like in the stadium they were going to lose that game, which is the opposite. I think if you go back after the Seahawks game, I think I told you guys, like, it felt like we were going to lose that game. So to hear that, like, the crowd was just so into it and everyone was just, like, so rowdy that that's the kind of atmosphere we're playing. It's a weapon. I mean, it really is a weapon, and I think it's going to be even louder next week somehow. But having gone to the game and having not, I think, like, 120 decibels that's incredibly loud. Like, that's can't hear yourself think loud. It's just, it's awesome on TV. You can hear it on TV, and I can't even imagine being in the crowd what it's like.
Yeah, I saw that. It basically stayed between 115 and 120 decibels the entire game, and obviously that parts gets louder. They didn't break the decibel record for whatever, you know, whoever holds that. I can't remember. I think maybe it's the Chiefs, like 140 decibels or whatever it is. So they didn't get quite that high on their high moments, but they stayed consistently loud throughout it. And lots of cheers, lots of Eminem songs playing, swag surfing, which, you know, is kind of the track for all these playoff teams. The Chiefs have brought that into the soundtrack as well. And the Lions had it. It didn't have quite the same reaction that it did in Kansas City at Arrowhead, but nonetheless, still an electric atmosphere. Just, you know, you wish you were there. You wish you could take it all in. I'm getting a live update from BP. Looks like we've got another touchdown for the Bills. My goodness, it's over early in Orchard Park. Over early. I mean, have you guys seen the TikTok guy that tries to stay at stadiums as long as he can before getting kicked out? Andrew, I don't know. I may have sent you these in the past. No, I'm pretty sure I did. But there sounds like several fans were trying to do that last night, and I can't blame them. You know, they were taking it in. Probably just couldn't believe what they just witnessed. I mean, what was your guys' feelings throughout the game? Like, Mitch was kind of talking to it. You know, did you feel like at this point, you know, the Lions never lost or never trailed in this game, got very close. You know, it was only a 1-point game by the end of it. But what was the confidence level throughout the game for you guys?
After that first score, it couldn't be contained. You know, when you don't put any points up in the fourth quarter, you become a nail biter. But to touch one more thing on those fans, like you're in complete awe as soon as the broadcast started. You could tell, like, it was a different atmosphere. But also, like, intelligent cheering, too, right? Like, the Lions had the ball, dead quiet in there, good to go. And then I don't know if you guys remember Anzalone before the game said, you know, like, I want the loud atmosphere, but if you could, you know, be loud before they break the huddle. Don't let them get that play call to themselves. Like, I want you to be louder there. And the first thing I noticed was on the Rams' very first offensive snap, that place was rocking, and I don't know if you noticed how tight their huddles were all night long. Couldn't get the plays out.
I'm just reading right now, just like a quick follow-up. So the current record at Ford Field they actually set in week two against the Seahawks at 127.5. There's no way it wasn't louder than that last night. So I can't wait till that official reading comes out. But you're right, Ben. They're still chasing the 142 too. I can't. The fact that Arrowhead is outside and they got to 142, I can't wrap my head around it. But yeah, I can't wait to see what the highest decibels were last night, because I know being at the Seahawks game, I couldn't hear like the guys next to me, which was amazing.
Yeah, credit to you. You're part of that history. Who knows what it'll be next week? And I think part of the reason the crowd was so loud is Andrew mentioned, you know, they had the Cowboys game on, and once they saw the Packers kind of take a hold of that game, you start to think about it. You don't want to think about it too much because you want to focus on the Rams, but you start thinking, well, if the Lions win, that means rodeo number two at Ford Field in Detroit, and you don't want to look too far ahead. But I was already thinking it in my head and just try to stay focused. very composed throughout the game till the very end. I had pretty much full confidence until the fourth, halfway through the fourth quarter with this team winning it. You know, I'm starting to try to embrace these feelings of confidence where it's third down on offense or defense and just feeling like I've got to trust in this team. So I would invite some other shareholders to maybe think about that as well. It's okay to have confidence in this team. It's not the same old Lions anymore. You can have trust these days, which feels good. And a feeling that I'm still getting used to as well.
Much like a gambling disclaimer, I'm going to tell the fans at home, it's okay to have confidence in this offense. I'm not sure we can really have confidence in the defense just yet.
Yeah, I've got something to say about that when we get to the offense section. Let's hit you with some stats here. The Rams 0-3 in the red zone today, or yesterday, I should say, which is a huge improvement against this defense that was the Lions defense, which was historically low in red zone. The time of possession was virtually lockstep between the Rams and the Lions. 10 seconds of differential, basically a neutral point. The defense, like I said, only held the Rams to 23 points. No turnovers by either team, which was surprising for me. I thought for sure we would have one, and the offense and the defense did just enough for the Lions. The offense of the Lions actually was outgained by the Rams offense by almost 100 yards in this one. The Rams over 400 yards of offense. Surprise, surprise against that defense that is the Lions. But did you guys feel like in this game, at any point, a turnover was just going to crush one of these teams? Like it was almost infuriating to watch because you're just worried about it happening one way or the other.
I wasn't worried about the Lions offense, but every single drive in the second half, I think I started when the Rams had the ball with need a turnover here. Got to have one. Like, cause you're right. That was the momentum shift that they needed so badly. But I mean, hats off to both teams for protecting the ball.
Not only did they need a turnover, I mean, the guys were fighting for it almost to a detriment, especially on the Puka Nacua tackles. I mean, at one point I was screaming, like, this could be the difference. Just tackle him instead of going for the ball. Everybody was ripping. So, I mean, like, yeah, you want the turnover, but by God, don't let the guy break free at the same time.
Drives me nuts. Drives me absolutely nuts. And that dude is too big to be doing that.
So the big risk reward. And shout out to the rookies, I mean, on both sides for protecting the ball. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs, strong with the ball today, yesterday, Puka. And is Kyron Williams a rookie, or is this year two for Kyron Williams? You guys know?
I thought he was a rookie, because I thought he started slow. He went to Notre Dame. I'm pretty sure he's a rookie.
Yeah. Like 97% on that.
97. Okay, that's an interesting, oddly specific number. Shout out Aiden Hutchinson. All right, let's talk about the offense. Let's go a little deeper into this game. Those were our big points and just kind of overarching combos. But let's talk about this offense specifically. Talked about it, Jared Goff. You know, he was chanted his name, you know, after the game. Dan saying, you are enough for us. Talked about the Serpent of Death, his revenge game against his old team. They got to that connection early and often. That was great to see. Now let's talk about this. Were you guys surprised to see, especially with how well they ran the ball to start the game, under 100 yards rushing for the Lions against the Rams?
I wasn't not surprised to see under 100 yards. This is one of those moments where you have to ride the Ben Johnson train. It's like you're running the ball completely successfully, and yeah, you're gonna hit those lulls. Like keep going back to it. Don't give up on the run so early, but. I'm not surprised to see that at all. I don't know why we went away from it so fast.
Well, I like that there's a big mix too, because you don't want to get into those obvious passing situations. You know, he runs early. He runs a pretty classic offense, but then he'll all of a sudden mix it up as well. Honestly, I thought it was good. It's shocking to me that it was less than 100 yards total. And yeah, I went over all the stats we got. Beat in nearly every category, which is shocking to see the W on the other side of this, but that's kind of what Dan talks about in their issue from a couple years ago. You get into these one possession games, and what would you do? You would probably turn it over in that situation. Oh, you just don't have a bounce that goes our way. That was a gritty one by the offense to just get all the points they could.
No doubt. Only a field goal in the second half for the Lions. You know, 21 points in the first two quarters, and then three in the second half. Barely enough points to win you the game. Gritty all around. And, you know, as you stated, these are the games, you know, they would have lost a couple years ago, no doubt. Ball wouldn't have bounced their way. They would have missed that field goal. They would have had a fumble. Something would have happened to change the outcome of this game. But here we are, Lions 24, Rams 23. And as you mentioned, yeah, they really didn't win any categories in the box score. I mean, it's if you just looked at the box score, you might think that this was a Rams victory. I mean, their third down efficiency, both of them 3 for 9, both 1 for 1 on fourth down. Each team 55 plays each way. I mean, this is as close as you can get on some of these. You know, as I mentioned, 425 yards for the Rams offense, over 100 yards, almost 100 yards more than the Lions. Each team eight drives. Time of possession basically even, and the penalties basically even. The Lions had one more penalty than the Rams. I feel like the moment was on offense was when Jared lost the ball and did his little two-hand throwing. I don't even want to call it a throw because it was almost desperation, like he had a hot potato and he needed to get it out of his hands or it was going to explode. And that was really the moment for me because the offense was clicking, was in rhythm, and then that happens. And yes, they do get a first down after being all the way behind the sticks. But after that, you know, that drive stalls out. And then from there, you know, a couple negative plays and just the offense sputtered. So for me, it kind of started there. I know they did pick up the first down on the long third down to St. Brown, but it's like this offense and Ben Johnson, the minute something goes awry, they I don't know if it's panic or if they start to get off the game plan, they feel like they got to do something. But for me, it was that moment right there for Jared and one of the low lights we had for Jared.
Yeah, I said it. He turns into a baby calf, baby giraffe, however you want to say it. It's just, come on, dude. You're a professional athlete. Climb the pocket every once in a while and just try to get like a yard or two. You don't have to scramble for the first down. Just look like you're paid millions of dollars play a sport every once in a while from the waist down.
Well, Ben, you brought up DaKeisha in the group chat, and that was like do we have a nickname for Goff when he does one of these things? Because DaKeisha came out in full force in the Cowboys Packers game, and I don't know if you saw his, like, I don't know what it was, he was running to the left sidelines and he like tried to flip a ball like 15 yards just to get it, yes, just to get rid of it. I couldn't understand it. It was like he wanted to throw another interception. And that's kind of what happens with Goff in these situations. It's like, dude, are you trying to turn the ball over? That's what it looks like they're actively sabotaging.
You nailed it there. And once again, this is like reference number 4 you've had to another thing besides the Lions. So thanks for trying to get us off the rails, but here I am to keep us in the rails. But you're exactly right. Desperation, just panic when you don't need to panic. Like, everything was going great at that point for Goff and the offense. Like, you really couldn't say that there was anything bad that had happened. And then that kind of throws off your rhythm. But I, as far as nickname goes, I mean, I said it in the group chat, Goffle. I mean, that's really all I have for it is Goffle or... I don't know. That's about the best I can come up with.
That'll do. No,
that's
for now.
One of your betters. That's one of your better ones.
Thanks. And the other one was that scramble that Mitch alluded to. I that was one of the plays where I got up off the couch because it's like, I don't know what his workout regimen is, but
never sprints. Never ever sprints.
He's got to do some calisthenics or something. I don't know. It's got to work on that balance because he's tripping over paint on the turf at that point. And who's to say what he would have got out of that run, but it would have been better than what happened. My goodness.
The last thing I'm going to say against Goff, Joe Flacco moves better out of the pocket than Jared Goff does.
Oh, no doubt. 100%.
Well, Joe glides like he's got magnets in his shoes and there's repelling magnets in the field.
But I think that's what people's excuse will be. Well, like, oh, Jared's so tall. Joe Flacco is taller. Joe Flacco is 87 years old and he's better out of the pocket than Jared is. It's crazy.
That's Joe Biden.
Andrew, if you're going to eat snacks while you're on the podcast, at least share with us what you're eating. The shareholders, that is.
Hell is that yeah, dinner? That's right. Represent, baby. That is the all-time cracker. I love the support there. Chicken and a biscuit, folks.
Just grabbing a quick little snacky. We're for the behind the scenes here. Recording a little earlier.
Yeah, this is a little different time for us. It feels weird. You know, right now I've got my own cooking going on. I've got mashed potatoes in the
Remember when you just made fun of Andrew for getting us off track?
God damn it. Talk about your all-time humbles.
All of a sudden we're into Ben's Down Home Texas Country Cookbook.
You know, it's 32 degrees outside. Slow cooker, you know, it just felt right today. How about we finish the offense off with one Sam LaPorta? I mean, Mitch, you said it in our little bonus episode. Is the jersey ordered?
The jersey's not ordered, but I'm going to order one. That's a fact. I am getting a LaPorta jersey in all good faith. Brad, please, please extend him. This is my biggest fear with jerseys is as soon as like you get it, it's like, oh, they're going to trade him. I think LaPorta is going to be like, he's Brad Holmes' guy. He's DC's guy. I think they'll figure out a way to make him a centerpiece for the offense for years to come. I'm getting a jersey either way. Just an absolute stud to come back. I love him.
He looked pretty good, too. I mean, it didn't look like he was hindered that much. I mean, I think he's a step slower probably, but it looked like the dude was getting around pretty good.
Didn't have a great game blocking. I dropped the PFF grades in there for you guys to reference. He didn't have as strong as blocking. He played a lot, though. I think he played 80% of offensive snaps, which is insane given the injury. But, not his best blocking game. But that's okay. He got points on the board.
54.5. Am I seeing that right? Yeah.
Yeah. You want to see a real
thanks
treat
for putting those in there.
When we get to talking about defense, it gets ugly quick.
Jack Campbell once again.
Jesus,
the highs and the lows for the rookie.
Holy mother!
He just had one of his best
Holy
games.
Holy mother of Moses.
But yeah, we're so glad that Sam played yesterday and rallied from that injury because. I don't know. Brock Wright, you know, I think Brock Wright's serviceable enough to play that role, but there's nobody that can do it on this roster besides Sam LaPorta to be that number one tight end.
Andrew thought Brock Wright was like a tackle. So I don't know. Make whatever diet decisions you want, but I don't know, maybe we put the extra piece of garlic bread away.
I think it's the shoulders. He's got wide shoulders, okay? And he's in the 80s. You know, people are wearing whatever numbers they want nowadays.
I see.
And he's got a little ass.
He's going to have to start doing this pretty soon here.
The Dan Skipper,
they had a fullback
eligible receiver.
They had a fullback do that in the Dallas game. I didn't know you had to make a fullback eligible to report. That didn't make any sense. He lined up in the backfield.
Interesting.
Yeah, Dallas learned a thing or two.
Last thing about what you just said, which was they're letting him wear any numbers anymore. The tight ends used to always wear number 80. So he's not number 80, but you know.
Yeah, but you can't trust the number is my thing.
Okay. Oh, you can't trust. You've lost trust in the numbers. I got it. Okay. Fair enough. I'll give you that one. Let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about Stafford first and foremost. Stafford went off. I think we all expected that. He was threading the needle all game long. PFF grade at 88.5, second to only Puka Nacua at 92.6 on the Rams, and third highest in the game. St. Brown was your highest. So Mitch, I'll let you take the floor here for Stafford specifically.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, listeners. I just take exception, and it irritates me, all the booing. I get it in the heat of the moment. Teams always get booed when they come out. I don't like the extra emphasis we put on, like, F Stafford, he's done, his time here is done. I think it's preposterous. I think people act like, I don't know what it is. People are upset that he left. He's on the back end of his career. He had a chance to go get a Super Bowl ring. He went and got the Super Bowl ring, and the Lions turned that trade into Goff, who has been more than fine, above average, probably a top 10 quarterback consensus since his time with the Lions. Gibbs, Laporta, J-Mo, Iffy, Pascal, and Broderick Martin. The fact that people are still upset with Matt Stafford, who wanted to go get his ring, who put in 12 years and just got battered and bloodied in Detroit, and was, for all intents and purposes, it was him and Megatron, and that was it. And even after Megatron left, Stafford still tried to carry the franchise as much as he could. None of where we're at today, where the franchise is trending way up, happens unless Stafford requests a trade. And I thought the booing was trash. I thought the booing while his family was on the field was trash. I don't blame him for his reaction in the postgame. People are saying he's salty. I said it last week. I stand by it. I thought they should have given him a quick tribute before the game. He did a lot for the franchise, and I don't get it. I think it's just a bad look for the fans. Andrew disagrees.
Mitch, I think I just disagree with the tribute before the game. Like,
that's fair. That's probably just me being a huge Stafford fan. I'm accepting of that, but everything
else. Can you at least accept the no Stafford jerseys last night?
Yeah, well, this is going to get into economics. That's great, except for jerseys are $130. I mean, come on.
You know, I'm with you. I'm with you on it. But yeah, all is fair in love and war, right? And let's consider football war for all intents and purposes here. So,
and I thought Kelly had a good reaction too, because she said the same thing. She was like, "Hey, like, I have no problem with like the on the field stuff." She said the only thing I took exception to was like the moment before the game where his girls like wish him luck and they were booing that. Like, that's crazy. That's just absurd at that point.
Not crazy for fans that have been tailgating for hours that are like wasted. You know that's happening. You know that's going to happen. You're at a football game.
That's Did fair. You guys catch on NBC the double birds when they brought Stafford out?
They left
out?
Up for so long. What are you have to pan away?
I don't know how they didn't cut from that. That's got to be an FCC violation. Idiots. No, I mean, maybe you just
Apparently
let it ride.
Let
I was surprised
to
not see that more on. Oh.
With Eminem in the house, the FCC letting them be?
Oh my God. That's an all-time slip.
That was great.
Wow. I'm so glad you explained that, because my dumb brain wasn't going to catch on for that for a while. Any news on Andrew? You had mentioned it in the last, what was it, Wednesday episode? Walkthrough Wednesday. Any news? Did they do a tribute video after the game like you had proposed?
I don't think there was a tribute video after the game. You know, we might see one this week. Like, hey, thanks, Stafford. Thanks for everything you did. I mean, he's 100% going to get one when he retires. And I think that's when it's a little more appropriate. Well, when he retires from the game of football, the Detroit Lions organization gives him a tribute video.
I think he gets one when they play in Ford Field next year. I think that's when it's going to happen. If this was a regular season game, they would have done it. It's because it's a postseason game. So I'm kind of on the fence here. I agree with everything that Mitch said. I don't like the booing right off the bat. I would have liked to see like one cheer, a short little video, done, over. Then you boo the shit out of him. But I don't know. But once I saw it on TV and it was, you know, in that moment, I was kind of like, well, you know what? Maybe he is the enemy, and maybe you don't want to give him. My only concern was if you boo him so heavily, he's going to come out like a demon. And we saw his eyes when he was in the tunnel. That concerned me a lot. Concerned all of us, I think. So that was my biggest concern about making him such an enemy. But then kind of when it started, I was like, you know what? All bets are off. The Lions haven't won a playoff game in 32 years. Maybe this is the right move to just make him an enemy. I don't know.
I agree. Inside the 60 minutes, it's game on. Like, then you really are enemies. And tribute video is probably too far. I think, Ben, you hit the sweet spot of like a little cheer. Like a little cheer when he runs out probably would have been the most appropriate thing. And I don't think he will get anything after he retires. All signs point to the Rams being even better next year and being a contender next year. He gets another ring with the Rams. I don't know what you do. Now you're just kind of an awkward turtle. Like, now your ex has just moved on. And, you know, I don't know. It is what it is. I feel like there never has been enough appreciation for Stafford's time in Detroit.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. We saw the situation with Brady and, you know, him leaving for Tampa Bay and his reaction going back to Foxborough. And, you know, they certainly gave him his flowers. It's not a apples to apples comparison. It's an apples to orange with Stafford. But I don't know. I got to believe that they'll do something. And like I said, they'll play next year at some point. We don't know when, but it will be in Detroit. So I think the scene might be different. You guys talked about the clip, and I saw a second clip that I don't know if you guys saw from the press conference where he talked a little bit more about the fans, and it was a lot different answer than he gave in that one where he was like, you know, asked about the fans. He's like, I'm happy for the team, the players, and he, you know, kind of skirted around the city intentionally, right? Or the fans. But he had a different answer in a second clip. I don't know. Did you guys watch the whole press conference or did you see a second clip? Because I did on one of the Lions photojournalist's account or photo account. And that it gave a different answer. And so I felt differently about it. The second thing that made me feel differently about what I saw from Stafford was Kelly's post on Instagram. Mitch, shout out to you. I saw that you liked it. So I know you read it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I hate to sound like I'm just like in love with the guy, but let's also not just move on from the fact of like how involved the Staffords still are with the community of Detroit and how much they do for the city of Detroit.
Yeah, and you saw the very last line of her caption in the Instagram post, which was "Go get one, Detroit." And so I was like, "That's pretty cool to see after what happened yesterday."
They still love Detroit. Yeah. The whole segment before the game where they're like, they're talking about how the girls were like, they didn't know who to cheer for. You can tell, like, as if it hasn't been obvious the whole time, Detroit holds a near and dear spot in their hearts.
We have a villain clothing line. Can't we just, like, lean into it and embrace it for once?
It is Detroit versus everybody. However, you don't have to be a dick to a guy that never was a dick to you.
It was Detroit versus everyone for 12 years when the guy was getting the shit out of him.
I disagree. I don't think booing. Okay, the F Staffords and the middle fingers, yes. Booing a guy in a football game, I disagree that that's hate.
No, in the football game, that's fine. I don't know. I think the extra emphasis that went on to booing him, and again, I hate to sound just like, maybe I'm biased now, but like, how are you going to boo a dude when he's hugging his family? That just seems like, come on. But to Andrew's point, it's cold outside. You know, people are feeling frosty, literally. They're getting after it with the brewskis. I'm ready to move on. I think I'm scared for next year. I'm scared he comes back next year. And unless we draft 18 cornerbacks and have them all in the field, he's going to rip a new bunghole into the defense.
All I'm saying, in a setting like that, you get that many people, it's essentially the internet, live internet setting, and you get all the comments out loud with no facial recognition behind it. You can boo somebody and have zero feelings about it, and it's all right, man. It's okay. You're a little wasted. You said some things you should have said. That's okay. And to the other side, Stafford's played in several football games. He's been booed several times. Every football player, every person in the NFL has. Like, once again, it's a business at the end of the day. It's time to move on. Don't feel that bad.
Dan referenced that in his post game, which is also wild. That was kind of crazy that you said that. Did you see that? Just kind of said, like, it's a business and sometimes it's shitty, but I feel like we do the right thing essentially, and we built like the locker room. And I feel like I've taken up the whole like segment to talk about defense to defend Stafford, but what the hell do we want to talk about on defense anyways?
Well, you said it, you know, unless they draft 18 cornerbacks, you know, it's going to be a shit show again next year. So let's talk about what we have right now, which is not great. And Cam Sutton and that rest of that secondary just couldn't match up yesterday, and they haven't had the ability to do that all year long. Thought Vildor made a few plays, and then I looked down at his PFF grade, and now I'm regretting what I said, but I feel like he was better than his numbers indicate. Obviously, that's kind of the better of the bad across the secondary. I mean, Cam Sutton, you know, much has been made about him. I don't know. I don't know what the secondary can do. I don't know what this defensive coaching staff can do to mitigate this mid postseason. That's my concern.
I think Tirico and Collinsworth hinted at it in the broadcast. Go back to the stat they gave you. Their three leading tacklers on the team are the three middle linebackers because they rotate so well. What can the cornerbacks do? Move everything to the middle of the field. Keep them in front of you, put too high over the top, and make them play in front. You can't get beat deep. Keep pushing them to that. Act like the center of the field's empty. Send two, keep one, right? I mean, you pretend to empty the middle of the field, and then you collapse on it. That's how you stop them. You can dink and dunk down the field. That's what this defense's MO has been all year. It's bend, don't break. We've said it so many times. Give up the middle of the field. Don't give up the 80-yard chunk plays down there. I mean, like, those are breakers, not benders.
Yeah, the problem with that is when you scheme that exact thing up, and then you've got the guy who likes to run his mouth the most, who just, where'd you go, man? You let up a big one. You were the help over the top. I mean, it's clear that the cornerbacks cannot match up, and they won't match up. But we have the talent at the safety position that should be able to help with that. And people should be afraid to go over the middle. No one wanted to go across the middle on Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu. I'll go across the middle on the Lions defense right now. Because as far as I've seen, and it's only been two games back, he's recovering injury. CD Deuce likes to talk a lot. You got to start backing it up, dude.
No doubt. How about Kirby's hit that everybody's calling dirty right now?
I thought it was fine. We talked about this. I thought it was fine. I mean, what's he supposed to do? Those tight ends have 50 to 70 pounds on a guy like Kirby Joseph. It's unfortunate. I mean, it's unfortunate that he hit him low and Higbee's leg stuck. And you saw Anzalone came out and defended him. So did CD. I mean, it just sucks. It's the game of football. It's hard. That was the one spot where Stafford, don't throw it like that. Don't throw it up high and leave your guy exposed below the knees. That's football.
Thank you. That last statement too, Mitchell. That's football. Like, how many times do we see this play? And like, yeah, I think it sucks. I don't like that hit that Kirby threw. But at the same time, Higbee's a tall dude. Like, what do you coach to do on big guys and especially tight ends? Go low, cut their legs out from underneath them. Don't let them out-muscle you to get extra yards. And if Kirby hits 6 inches higher, he's got his thigh. I mean, sorry he missed the mark that much. I mean, it's a full-speed play. That's football. I think what everybody's really going to, like, knock him on is he had the unsportsmanlike earlier on. And it kind of just makes it look a little dirtier because, you know, he's playing with attitude.
Well,
yeah. I think that's a decent segue. And Ben, did you have anything else on the defense before we talk effing refs?
Yes. Shout out to JRM once again, Mr. You know, irrelevant basically on the defense, a special teams guy, but gets some playing time on the defense. 97.5 on the PFF. That's incredible.
That's just ridiculous. He had 11 snaps on defense. So he's, I mean, he saw some decent playing time. That's nothing to scoff at. Nothing to golf at.
Yep.
Work in progress.
Heads are in the same place.
Work in progress. No, I was going to say on the, you know, I think the tough thing with the Kirby pulling the guy off the pile is you literally like, that's literally an emphasis with the refs. You can't pull guys off the pile. Now, I do think that Sunshine Boy, Mr. Receiver Skoranek was, I don't know how that didn't get called because he's literally like the play's over, the guy's on the ground, and you're just bear crawling into his chest. That was crazy to me. But you have to be smarter than that if you're Kirby. You know that's a foul. You can't do it. I get it. Point it out to the ref then. I mean, do anything but what you did.
It was reactionary, probably, on his part. If it was as bad as it, yeah, we didn't get a great look at it from the NBC cameras, and it was pretty quick. But if, you know, I guess it's just kind of reactionary. We see offensive linemen go up to defend quarterbacks all the time and knock people down, and they don't throw flags. I think it was just the fact that you said it, you know, it's an emphasis for the refs. But that was the story all night for the refs, for me, was they were calling penalties that were not obvious. And then the obvious ones were like, oh, no flags. I mean, let's be honest, the defense got away with some questionable calls, the Lions did down the stretch. But then conversely, the refs miss an obvious late hit out of bounds where I think it was Reynolds, maybe. I don't know who it was for the Lions offense, but gets tackled basically 3 yards out of bounds. And NBC doesn't even show a replay, but Tirico did hint at, like, the Rams just got away with like a blatant late hit out of bounds. You know, we talk about the ones that are close, like, oh, you know, had 1 foot in bounds still. That one was literally out of bounds by 3 yards. So that's what it was for me all night. It was just like no consistency from this official squad, these referees. It was just bizarre, and I'm just glad it didn't get too one-sided. You know, the offsides was pretty brutal for the Lions. The offsides that was actually a false start called, should have been an offside, should have been points there for the Lions offense. All in all, though, just happy it didn't completely F the Lions, and that they decided to, you know, be consistently inconsistent.
I'm going to take a different approach at the refs here. I think they did a pretty good job overall. I don't think this game was the worst game I've seen by a large margin at that, too. They missed a very obvious offsides on the defense, not a false start on the offense. That was about as bad as it gets for me. But other than that, like, I look at it as it's playoff football. What do you see in playoff football? Crowd's a little crazier. Defense moves and hits a little harder. And offense has got a little extra pep to it. They let the DBs on both sides get up into the face of receivers, kind of hold on a little bit. And they weren't calling it either way. They were also letting the defensive linemen and offensive linemen trenches just kind of work each other all night long. And they just kind of had minimal involvement. So I kind of liked it. You know, playoff football, let them hit. And I think it honestly works out in the Lions' favor, because if they play with an attitude, you saw the shots that Matthew Stafford was taking and the rest of the Rams were taking as well just throughout the game. Like, it helps the Lions when they let them play aggressive ball. When they start getting ticky-tacky, that's when it hurts them. So I honestly wasn't really too upset with it.
Yeah, I think I'm more on the side of Andrew. It's the false start. I mean, that's just unacceptable. That's just unacceptable in a crucial part of the game that gives the Lions the first down, and they probably come away with 3 points, if not seven, at that point when the Rams just really couldn't get a stop. So I think for me, it's some type of accountability. I don't know what that looks like. And I get that the NFL tried to make pass interference a reviewable penalty, and it just didn't work out. There are some penalties that can be reviewable, like a false start and a neutral zone infraction. These things that are black and white, are that should be reviewable.
Mitchell, you're 100% right, though. Like, and Goff was involved with it. We talked about it. It was Goff versus the Saints, and Dan Campbell was on the other side of it. They implemented the sky judge under 2 minutes that can reverse any call on the field if it was that obvious. Did that just, like, disappear? Is that not a thing in the NFL? Did I miss a memo there? Because, I mean, hand up if I did.
It was just in pass interference is tough because if you get the games where the referee crew is like, we're going to let these guys play, there's going to be some hand fighting. That one is too subjective for me. Whereas there are these objective penalties that just you can't miss those. You just absolutely can't miss those. So I think there's a groundswell against the NFL referees and it's going to come to a head. It's going to be a talking point in the offseason for sure.
All I can think about, Andrew, about the sky judge thing is that it's pre-snap. It's a pre-snap penalty. So I don't know if that falls into the same thing because that's an immediate call from the ref. The side judge immediately is going like this, right? The false start symbol, and he goes to the head referee, and then that's when the call gets made. I don't think, like, in that point where it's a pass interference or hands of the face or holding or some other penalty, where we see them throw a flag and then they say, you know, upon further whatever they say, you know, there's no foul for whatever. I don't know if that's my only consideration is that because it was pre-snap. And I don't know that for a fact. I'm just spitballing here about why that is. Yeah, but you're right.
I mean, that would give some clarity to it, but I mean, I still don't understand how he comes to that conclusion. That was, whew,
yeah, that's bad. So, something needs to change at the end of the day. Something's got to change.
Somebody said that Sky Judge, so I got my head on there. The line judge blinked, missed the move, the first move by whoever that was on the Rams, and then saw Decker move and said, yeah, that's a false start. I don't know. But you guys talked about the hits that Stafford took. Last thing before we talk about Bams, which was, I would venture to say, and maybe this is more the conspiracy role, and maybe I'm taking your role here, Andrew, but I think the Rams got away with three of their offensive players having concussions and then remaining in the game. Puka, Stafford, and Kyren, I think, were all evaluated and then given passes. I would question that at least two of those were actual concussions.
I mean, Stafford, like, he hit the ground. You don't hit the ground and your eyes don't stay open. Like, that's scary, scary, scary.
Andrew, any
and that's
thoughts?
Talking injuries. That's talking CTE.
Sorry, I was just taking a little Stafford break there. That one was crazy, and I mean, yeah. If you want some accountability from the refs, maybe we need to have some accountability from these independent neurologists that only decide to sit down a player if they're like unconscious. Apparently, not anymore. If they stumble off the field, or it's a non-important regular season game.
Exactly. And that's what it is. I think postseason things shouldn't change, but they did. Any other time you would see those guys reported, you know, headed to the locker room for further concussion testing. But surprisingly or unsurprisingly, here they are playing back in the game. And I'm sure you guys caught the moment where the Rams come out on offense and then the refs whistle it dead and say, no, Puka's got to get checked. And then I don't know if it's the trainer or the independent neuro comes over and he's like, oh, no, it's good. It's good.
He's good.
It's like, so it makes me wonder what the refs saw in that situation, or they probably got buzzed down from up top or something. Speaking of Sky Judge, and said, wait, hold on. 17, Puka Nacua needs to go to that blue tent that was occupied by Matthew for so long that Puka didn't even get evaluated, but I guess he did. In terms of the Lions, though, I think, you know, they mainly or mostly were unscathed on injuries. If I could be wrong, I know Alex Anzalone had a shoulder. They put a shoulder brace on him late in the game. Dan talked about it in his press conference today. Per usual, Dan not giving a lot of details, said like, yeah, he's okay. We'll see what he can do this week. And basically said he was going to leave it up to Alex on whether he wanted to, you know, quote unquote, play through the pain or be involved, further in practice this week, or sit it out till the game and then make it a player decision, basically, if he plays next week.
If he tackled like he should be tackling, I don't think his shoulder would hurt that bad. Stop trying to just crush people. Stick your arms out, wrap somebody up.
I thought it was kind of a heady play, though, for him to sit down there when the defense needed a break. I thought that was more what it was. Maybe it was an actual shoulder injury there, but
I think that was a big moment there. I thought he was slow to get up for like a few plays before that.
On like four or five different occasions, too.
Yeah, and he's just like on his knee, like, yeah, so, oh, well.
But we're thankful that, you know, relatively unscathed for the Lions in this one, and that they'll be, you know, somewhat healthy, mostly healthy for the divisional round. Andrew's trying to show us something live. Now I'm not sure what he's doing. He tried to flip the camera there at one point. Okay, because the Bills game's at halftime. Am I wrong? Yeah, like we can see that, man.
James?
Rams players of
riveting
the week.
Episode.
Okay. I guess I'll go first. I didn't want to take the ones that you guys were going to take, so I gave my Bams to Sean McVay for being conservative and Badgley for nailing a 54-yarder.
I love you giving Badgley some love. He doesn't see it enough. Mine has got to go to the city of Detroit and the fans. I mean, just long time coming for that one. Showed up all year too. Keep it coming. And then the rest of it, I mean, got to give the front office some love. Sheila, Brad, Dan, like all those guys. Chris Spielman, that's now part of that group. Like they're obviously doing something right and made a change after all these years and finally looking positive.
And Son God, because he's just Mr. Reliable. Again, it's unreal. Brad Holmes, DC. I said this to Ben, Andrew. In that video of Brad Holmes freaking out, Spielman did not know what to do with himself. He just was just like...
Is Spielman in that elevator?
He was the first person, or the last person in, I guess, right in front of Brad.
I didn't even recognize him. I was watching that. I was watching that video, and I went, wow, this guy feels uncomfortable.
Yep, that was Chris.
Chris in a hat is apparently unrecognized. He's Clark Kent to me.
Yeah. Look that video up, shareholders, if you haven't seen it. It's something to behold. Let's kick it to ourselves, and let's kick it to Brad Holmes' speech in the locker room afterwards, and after that, we'll roll the halftime capsules. Outside of that, we will talk about the rest of Super Wild Card Weekend in the NFL and close out the show.
Guy right here, man, Brad Holmes.
Great job. I absolutely love every single person in this room, man. We were intentional on being about grit, all right, and earning it. I love everybody in here, man. We went through darkness and it shaped us. All right, it shaped us for this moment. I love y'all, man. Thank you so much. Thank appreciate you so much. It. Especially this time. Thank you, man.
Halftime capsule, wild card weekend. Offense looks amazing. Offense is clicking, firing on every cylinder. Pass game is alive, run game is alive. And the secondary is terrible. The secondary is exactly what we knew what it was. We knew Stafford was going to come in and just dice him up. Cam Sutton is so flat-footed it hurts. Fuck Roger Goodell. Fuck the NFL. This is absolutely embarrassing. I can't take it anymore. I'm so sick of it. I hope Dan Campbell punches the referees in the throat next time they do this. I hope he uses it to get the boys fired up. And they just come out hungry on defense, start getting to Stafford, and they just keep it going on offense. Go Lions.
Okay, going to try to maintain my composure here, but the refs once again have inserted themselves into the game. Ugh. Look, the Lions are winning at halftime way closer than I would like it to be. If the defense could just do something in the secondary. You can't match, quite frankly, they can't match up in the secondary, and we knew that coming in, but it's worse than even I could have imagined. Cam Sutton, look, we'll address all this in the show, but oh my God, can we figure out a way to win on defense, whether it's blitzing or something? Got to figure out a way to get stops and create a turnover, at least one in the second half. Offense looks great, fluid, rhythm in the passing game, good mixture of run and pass. Can't complain there. The refs, missed an obvious late hit out of bounds that NBC didn't show a replay of, although Mike Tirico called it out, and the obvious false start that wasn't a false start would have greatly changed this game. I believe the Lions would have at least got three out of that. We're going to have to win without the refs on our side, per usual. Let's go Lions in the second half. Let's get 1 to 2 turnovers, and let's get a victory in the den. Detroit versus everybody. Fuck the refs. Fuck you, Craig Rolstead.
Okay, Lions fans, here we are. The first half of our first playoff, home playoff game in 30 years. Wow, does it feel crazy? Fans, let's start with you. Keep it loud. Keep it proud. It's crazy. It's rocking through here. Don't get quiet, though. We got some big plays. You got to stay on your toes. You got to get that defense back in. Secondary's getting toasted. We got to have some help over the top. Can't have Puka beat us over the top with nobody there. That's crazy talk. We said we got to contain the Pokemon. Cooper Kupp's been quiet. We got one kind of contained. We got to get that other one back in the Pokeball. As for the offense, Jared Goff looking good. I think you're only 2 or 3 incompletions at this point. Having a pretty good night. We got to keep the pressure on him. Got to keep the pressure on him. Knew it was going to be a track meet, and it's going to be who can get a stop late. That's what it seems to be what it's going to be boiling down to. So we got to keep up the pressure. Amon-Ra, you deserve a score. Let's get that guy in the end zone. I know Josh Reynolds been the guy. Amon-Ra went and dyed the hair for the playoffs. Let's get him a score. Let's go Lions.
Super wild card weekend in the NFL included many other games besides the Lions, of course. We started off things with the Browns going down to Houston, Texas, and they got destroyed by the Texans. Straight up, Stroud just went off, broke the rookie record, I think, for quarterbacks in the postseason, which is like his 10th mention in the history books this year alone. Flacco losing this game, of course, with the Browns. That means, folks, Jared Goff is now the oldest quarterback left in the field.
That's an insane stat because he's not old at all.
Oh, 29.
Crazy.
Texans.
These games are kind of tough because nothing about this weekend has been super except for the Lions and the Rams. It's been all blowouts.
100%. Yep. Andrew,
including why don't you talk about
the Chiefs.
Oh yeah, talking of blowouts, the weather in Kansas City, and I think the Miami Dolphins plane just never landed. I think those were character actors there, crisis actors. I think that's what they're called. I think we had a malfunction with the plane. I don't think it ever left Miami. That wasn't Tua. That was something else by the Miami Dolphins. I watched this game without sound, and I'm so glad I did. I can tell you, I think the coolest thing was when Mahomes' helmet broke, though.
It was cool, but as soon as it happened, I was like, yeah, this is going to be obnoxious, just all over social media. And it was.
Surprised they let him stay in a couple plays after that, too.
Didn't even check him out. Like, we're dogging on the Rams training staff. Guy's helmet got broken. We didn't even give him a look.
It's too cold.
I told you I was watching this without sound, and I didn't realize what was happening. And I looked back up, and I saw just that black spot, and I went, oh, man, somebody's, like, tape from their, like, arm or something, like the turf savers, like, stuck to Mahomes' helmet. Is he not going to take that off?
It was so wild. Nope. We were watching, and I literally was like, he's missing a chunk of his helmet. Like, are we going to let him play? Are we going to let that happen? And then I'm trying not to be a Mahomes hater because it's almost like everyone's hopping on this bandwagon, but just throwing like a hissy fit that he had to change his helmet and then just like didn't like the helmet. And they had like, come on, dude, get real.
The other hissy fit he threw was on when the Dolphins got the roughing the passer late in this game on a third down conversion that they didn't convert, and then they get converted by the penalty. He's starting to do like the LeBron flop thing, and I hate it.
You see, he chirped at that guy too. Like, they got the roughing the passer, and he got right in his face.
Yeah. I like Mahomes, but he is starting to venture into that LeBron category of like...
He's teetering the other way. I agree. I'm a Mahomes fan because he's so good, but yeah. Seems like since he had his sideline meltdown, he just hasn't gone back.
No.
Speaking of meltdowns, Dallas is done. Mike McCarthy's done. Anything else?
Ben, you said it right. Dallas.
Oh!
I had Dallas in here. And I should have just stayed with Dallas and took Green Bay, but I didn't listen to Mitch.
I should have seconded that.
Yeah. I didn't listen to myself. I thought it was going to be a tough game, but I did not see him getting the doors blown off. I'm like, this is just the Cowboys. This is just why Stephen A. Smith gets paid a bunch of money to make fun of the Cowboys, because every single year they choke. It's almost hard to see I don't even know. It's hard to wrap your head around how this happens to a team that's so good in the regular season. But back regression game, just him and CeeDee Lamb got in a fight this week, must be, because they looked like they hated each other. Yeah, they suck.
Yeah. Did you see him after the game, DaKeisha? They asked him about the relationship between him and CeeDee, and he was like, "Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Never been better." But you could read between the lines. It was like, I don't know, buddy. I don't know if it's amazing. I don't know if that's the way CeeDee would describe it. Mike McCarthy didn't even do a press conference after the game.
Yeah, that guy's looking for a new home right now. That's something. Can we talk about the fact that these loser Cowboys tried to pad their stats at the end of this game?
Well, they only came back. I don't think it was padding stats. They can't.
Let's not call this a comeback.
Hey, they had this within two scores with 3.5 minutes left. The Packers had to put their starters back in.
Yeah, it was a little bit of concerning. I turned on the Lions pregame because I wanted to focus on that. I was like, this game's over. And then I look over at the score and I was like, son of a bitch. Like Mitch just said, they had the ball. It was past the 50-yard line and they were driving down two scores with north of 2 minutes left. And it was like, all right, they're not going to do this. Like the odds of them getting two point conversions and the onside kick are so low. But it was a little bit like, oh my God, this game's not over. It was 48 to 14. And then all of a sudden it was 48-32 or whatever it was. So it's like, oh my God, where did they come from? But they were 100% padding their stats. And then DaKeisha can make himself feel a little better.
No, he sucked. He sucked. I'm glad that the Cowboys got bounced. We'll talk about this, but I think we might see something similar. I think the 49ers might have a rough couple first drives as they shake the rust off. And then they're going to realize, oh, wait, we're really fresh and we're way better than this team. And Bosa and Young are going to have a field day on Jordan Love.
Yeah, I think that was for the Packers. That was kind of like their Super Bowl this year. Like they kind of, I don't want to say snuck into the playoffs, but certainly, you know, one loss away from, I mean, they lost to the Giants down the stretch. You know, they had a couple losses in a row. They're lucky to be here. I think they played up in this one. LaFleur had them ready to go. Good game plan right out the get-go. Never wavered from it. Never looked back. Crushed the Cowboys at home. I think they're going to have a little bit of a hangover against San Fran. I think it's inevitable. I think they can keep it close for the first two quarters, and then from there it's all lights out for the 49ers.
I hope Jair Alexander gets cooked like three times by everyone. CMC, Ayuk, Debo. I hope everyone just takes their turn on that dude. Stop talking so much.
Pause.
Do you think I pegged that, Andrew, or?
I think it's a nail biter for sure.
All right. Interesting. What do you got for us in the Bills Steelers game? It's at half. You got an update for us? You've been wanting to update us every 2 seconds normally.
Steelers now still driving. Quiet on the Western 21, front. 21-7 Bills. Steelers are driving about midfield.
Okay. All right. Speaking
We've
of hangovers.
We've had George Pickens give up play already. So, you know, that's pretty classic.
Any given Monday, I guess, for him. Speaking of the hangovers that the Packers may have against the 49ers, are you guys at all concerned that the Lions would have a hangover next week against whoever they play, whether it's the Bucs or the Eagles?
I think they're too hungry still. I think they're The celebrating was amazing, but I think they're just like, this is just the beginning. I mean, you heard it. This is just the beginning was the actual quote. So I think they'll be fine.
I think the quote from Aiden is all you need to know. Yeah, when they were trying to talk to him after the game, like, what does this mean to you and for the city and growing up here? And he's like, a lot of work to do. Right, this ain't over. And he didn't even seem super excited. So I think their heads are down and locked in.
Yeah, fairly subdued across the board for the most part. I thought we'd maybe see more emotion. I think the fans were obviously way more emotional than the players. The players look kind of locked in still and ready for the action next week. So we'll see who that's going to be. I concur with you guys. We've got Philadelphia and Tampa Bay going at it tonight on Monday Night Football. So we'll talk about the opponent on Walkthrough Wednesday, our next episode. We'll preview the divisional round for the Lions, which will take place on Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern time on NBC. So right back to NBC, Tirico and Collinsworth once again next week. Same crew, same TV station, not on Peacock, on NBC. So we'll preview that on next Wednesday's episode. And then next Sunday, we'll have a show recapping Lions fill in the blank. So last thing before we go, this is pretty crazy. The NFL is partnering with ESPN. What could go wrong? The deal is basically what I've heard is ESPN would then take ownership of NFL Network, NFL Red Zone, and I guess maybe Sunday Ticket as well. Doesn't seem like a conflict of interest at all.
No, I got boycott ESPN on my 2024 bingo card, so I'm ready to go.
We'll see. I feel like there's a lot of red flags with that. Like, how are they going to work that out with Fox, CBS? Obviously, like, there's a lot of things to navigate, so we'll see. But yeah, it seems like that shouldn't be allowed, but whatever.
Yeah, especially with ESPN Bet now. That's my thing about this, is the whole betting thing involved. That just seems like a recipe for disaster. But folks, if you want to look up more about that, just Google the ESPN NFL partnership, which is not official yet. This is speculation and you know, talks under the table. But something that could have huge implications in the future of your viewership of the NFL and ESPN alike. So this team lives on. The Lions live on. They'll be back in action 3 o'clock on on NBC Eastern. What the hell am I saying? I got to get out of here. 3 o'clock PM Eastern Standard Time next Sunday against whoever the Bucks or Eagles win. And that one will be on NBC. This team lives on. This podcast lives on. Shareholders, it's great that we get to continue talking to you all each and every week. And we know you feel the Kool-Aid and the hunger that is embodied in this team. Let's go, Lions. Let's have Jared Goff break us down right after the meow.
Hey, I love and appreciate you guys more than you fucking know. I promise you that. I love you guys so fucking much. This is just the beginning, boys. This is just the fucking beginning. We got three more of these fuckers next week at home, at our place, against whoever the fuck wants to come in here. Let's go. We're on 3, 1, 2, 3. We're here!
And all my thugs, come lend hands if you show some love. And welcome to Detroit City. I said, welcome to Detroit City. Every place, everywhere we go, man, we deep everywhere we roll. Ask around, man, they all know Tricky. Ask what's good, man, they all say Tricky.